Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast land. Father God,
We come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty. Hallelujah. And your love unmeasured, God. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Lord, we're coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We're coming together as pilgrims through this barren land, God. For we know that this is not our home. This is just a temporary holdover. Because you have a heavenly kingdom prepared for us and those that love you and live in accordance to your commands. God, we're asking you, and I'm asking you, to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardon of their sins. Father God, I'm asking you, I am petitioning you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that may be hurting deep within the epitome of their soul. Father God, I ask these and other petitions that I set before your feet. These and other blessings we ask in thy Son Jesus' spotless, righteous, marvelous name. And we shall all say, saints of God, followers, supporters, friends, kinship family, we shall all say in unity, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. And all right, we were talking on last evening, and our theme was the backslider. And I shared some of my personal experience with you on last evening. And I always want to come straight across the aisle. I want to come slab dab in the middle. And I'm going to never come to you with what I heard, what somebody told me. But I'm coming at you with self-experience. And that's the best and the only way to present the Word of God to those that are hungry for the Word of God is self-experience. I couldn't explain anything about pregnancy or childbearing or giving birth, if I had not had the experience, you wouldn't believe anything that I had to say. If I said somebody told me this and somebody told me that, and I read it in this book and I read it in that book, but if I come before you with experience, then you will know exactly where I'm coming from. And so, like I said, we were talking about the backslider, and I had brought before you that, yes, Pastor Ward was, I'm not any longer, but I was a backslider, and God wanted me to share that with you on last evening. And so I felt good, and I felt obligated to share those thoughts with you on last evening. So we're going to go right on. We're going to just jump right on back in to our program on tonight, talking about the backslider. And we're going to talk a little about the symptoms of a backslider. And we find out that a backslider has no spiritual appetite like an infant. Backsliders are satisfied with milk, not solid food. Now we read in the law of 1 Corinthians 3:1-2. I'd like to ask you, my listening digital audience, podcast recipients on tonight, do you have a desire for spiritual nourishment? Very rarely do people talk about their Bible study. Is your attitude, God, speak to me, teach and instruct me, show me something from your word to make me more like Christ? Or are you content to just have a nodding acquaintance with God? Are you light with milk? Or do you want to get to grips with the meat of what God says? We are suffering today because so many Christians are blown by every wind of doctrine. This is because we are not men and women who truly know the Word of God. We do not dig deep and grapple with the Scripture. Therefore, when people come around and say something new, we follow them and go off on a tangent and ultimately forget that Jesus Christ is the way. And we also find out that the backslider has no desire for Christian fellowship. We read in the law of 2 Timothy 4 and 10, Paul wrote that Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and had departed from Thessalonica, a place known for its worldliness. Then earlier, the apostles had went to a wicked city. When a person has lost their spiritual glow within and is not walking closely with God day by day, hallelujah, we find out he does not want to meet other Christians. Have you ever been like that? Perhaps you have met Christians who've always have something fresh to say about the Lord's dealing with them. Answer to prayers, people to whom they have witnessed, or something they have recently gleaned from the Word of God. Do you think I can't chat with them? They're too spiritual for me. If sometimes you do not want to go to church, ask yourself, where is that desire that says, would there be more meetings, more Bible studies, more prayer? We find out that the backslider has no spiritual growth. In the law of Hebrews 5 and 12, we find out, though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principle of the oracle of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Do you have somebody you are taking under your wings spiritually? Do you know a young believer who are seeking nurture in the Christian faith? Are you desperate to grow closer to Jesus Christ? The reason we do not fast is because we are not hungry for God. There should be that desire within us that says, all right, never mind my normal routine. I'm going to go away and be apart with God. I am desirable for him. There ought to be a constant craving within us that says, I want more of God. The believer desires to know God better each day. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. That's in the law of Psalms 42 and 1. Nothing else, not his blessings, not the fruit that he brings, but he alone would satisfy. And we find out that the backslider has no sense of dependency on God. James spoke against those who say that tomorrow they will do this and the next day they will do that. And that is 4 and 13. Instead, we ought to think if the Lord wills that we'll act accordingly. How many of you plans are man-made? Do you pray at the beginning of the day? Oh, God, take me where you want me to go today. Make my chance words to be like arrows from you to the heart of the people to whom I speak. On close inspections of the book of Exodus, we see that Moses had to go up and down Mount Sinai like a yo-yo. On one occasion, God commanded Moses, come up after the 80-year-old man climbed up and got to the top. God said, Moses, go down. What would your attitude have been? Lord, you just told me. Yet Moses did not complain. He simply obeyed. We need to learn to obey the Lord always, even if something, the command does not seem to fit with our logic. Isaiah was told to go tell King Hezekiah that he was going to die. Afterward, as the prophet were crossing the courtyard, going away from Hezekiah, God said, now I will go back and tell him he has 15 more years to live. Isaiah did not know that Hezekiah had prayed, yet he returned to deliver the second message in obedience to his God. Hallelujah. He had a sense of ongoing dependency on God. Perhaps years ago you were called to the mission field. You knew you should have gone, but you did not. It is not too late to pray. For years I've gone on my own path, but now I want to go where you send and do what you command. We find out that the backslider has no true happiness. We read in Psalms 51 and 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. If backsliders claim to be happy, I would argue that they are not really backsliders. They have never been the Lord's. A backslider is the most miserable of all people. Hallelujah. And so God would take away from me all the joy which does not come directly from the Lord Jesus. If you were to pray like that, how much joy would there be in your life? Is your joy based on what you can do for God? Is it dependent only on your family or your comfort, your health, your strength? Or does it come from Christ? We know that the backslider is a discouragement to others. The backslider always seems to be criticizing others and grumbling. Remember that Christ said, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. That's in the law of Matthew 7 and 5. Are you known for your criticism? Sometimes I tremble at the hardness and the hardness of some believers who love to attack and destroy. That is the mark of a backslider. We need discernment, but not destroy. Jesus said, he who is without sin among you, let him draw a stone at her, the adulteress. That was in John 8 and 7. The backslider does not examine himself. Malachi said to the Israelites, you have worried the Lord with your words. It is so easy to point the finger at others and excuse ourselves. God never shows us more of other people's sins than he shows us of our own. If you see other people as worse than yourself, it is not of God. Rather, it is due to your own lack of self-examination. I once read a story of a poor homeless man who was asleep on a park bench, hallelujah, and when some mischievous youth came and robbed, moldy cheese in his beard, when he awoke, the man went around complaining that everybody smelled bad. When we are not walking with God, we excuse ourselves to find fault in everybody else. We know that the backslider has no strength. The prophet Jeremiah spoke God's warning that a lion would come down from the forest to the city and slay the people who had forsaken God. In other words, they did not have enough strength to defend themselves. What happens when you are tempted? Do you just give in, yield, and fall again? That is the mark of a backslider. Are you less than you once were? Are you falling to grow spiritually so you are no stranger and you are no stronger in God's grace than you once were? Now, I want you to know also that being a backslider has its consequences. And if a person has truly trusted Christ, he is secure forever. I may not believe in the perseverance of the saints, but I do believe in the perseverance of the Savior. He will never let go of anybody. Once we are his for all time. However, when a person backslides, he often falls into a sin that mars him and weakens his relationship with God. There is a limit on the amount of sin a Christian can commit. Hallelujah. We know that in the law of Galatians 5 and 17 says that the spirit lusts against the flesh, so it cannot do what it wants. Nevertheless, foolishness and failure become a backslider's bitter harvest. And there's also a consequences for other backsliders as well. And we find out that the scar of sin not only marks a Christian's own life, they also pollute his witness to others. We find out that in the law of Genesis, we read of Lot in the city of Sodom. He was not dwelling where he ought to have been, and he was not mixing with Christ's people as he should. There is a time when we should leave certain places and people. Eventually, Lot escaped. But in the process, he lost his wife and his family. They had rebelled against God because Lot was a backslider. There is no guarantee that children of Christian parents will automatically grow up to know the Lord. But nevertheless, sometimes the cause can be traced to parental backsliding and compromise. One generation excuses sin in moderation. The next generation delights in its excess. It is time we fell on our knees before God and cried that he would be merciful to us and would shower his understanding on those who look far, but did not find constant godly witness in us. Hallelujah. And so also we have a consequences toward God. Now we find out that when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, a child was born who became sick. David honestly prayed for God to save the child. God did not, because sin had given cause for my enemy to blaspheme. That's in the law of 2 Samuel 12 and 14. We know that the world loves to see an inconsistent believer and to point a finger in ridicule. How many of us with witnesses have heard somebody say, but such and such, a Christian, drink, swear, blaspheme God's name? As Paul told Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's in the law of 1 Timothy 4 and 16. God also has a restitution for the backslider. Although a person may be a backslider and is not living for Christ as he ought, God promises to provide a means of restitution, a way whereby the wayward one may come back to the fold. First, there must be acknowledgement of backsliding. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. That's in the book of Proverbs 28 and 13. And in Jeremiah 2 and 19, we read that your own wickedness will correct you, and your backsliding will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God. And fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Notice that God did not forsake us, but we forsook him. Do you remember when and where or how it happened? Come back to God, saying, God, in such a place, at such a time, you know what I did. You know where I went wrong. Now acknowledge my backslide. Second, turn from backslide. This may be harder than acknowledging it. Hallelujah. But we know it may mean that paying back what was taken. It will involve sorting things out with a person you wronged. Perhaps something in your house will have to be gotten rid of. As a person acknowledge and turn from sin, God provides for forgiveness. The way back for a backslider in traces the steps a person took to become a Christian. Again, he must come to the cross. We must trust Christ by saying to God, I am a sinner and deserve hell, but take my sins, because your son suffered and died and poured out his life to pay for my sins. Forgive me, and may the risen Jesus come and live within you. That too is what happened when a backslider is restored. He returned to the cross and say, your son died, not only for the sins of the world, but for my personal sins. A backslider, please forgive me. Come and live within me. This renewal is seen in Peter's life. After he slowly went away from the master, he had such self-confidence. Bible says that when he should have been praying with Jesus, he fell asleep and laid a fault with the enemy of the flesh. He chopped off the ear of the high priest's servant in a misplaced attempt to defeat Christ. A friend of mine said that Peter was a preacher. Hallelujah. But we know, hallelujah, that he was instead trying to win the ear with his word. It is an interesting thought that many preachers today unfortunately use the same heavy-handed measure. We read, and I know my time is winding down, we read that Peter followed Jesus afar off, and Peter then mixed with the enemy of Christ until eventually he denied the Lord Jesus 3 times. Do you deny Christ by your action? Jesus was sympathetic and compassionate toward Peter. When the Lord Jesus was taken away, he turned and looked at Peter. This is in the law of Luke 22:61. Nor the apostle would deny him. What sort of look do you think it was? Not one of revenge or anger? Hallelujah. It was a look of love, compassion, and concern. Later, the angel who went at Jesus' tomb told the woman to go and tell the disciples and Peter of the resurrection. Now, we will stop right here because my time has run out, and we will come back with phase 3, and God says the same on tomorrow. And in ending, I hope and pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and to infuse your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. Till we meet again, I want you to go in God as God goes in you. If you would like to send your prayer petitions, you can send them in care of Old Ship of Zion, Senior Pastor Janice Ward. If you have any correspondence, you can submit those too. My email address is janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. Till we meet again, saints of God and friends and my loyal listeners, go with God as God go with you. Bye.